We're continuing our series on the character of God, and I think this is going to be our last one. There's lots of characters, attributes of God that we haven't really touched at, but I wanted to be able to at least get to this one here and close with the one on that God is love. And I think it's an important one that we have, and to realize that. And yeah, it's like we can all say, yeah, we know God is love, but I think we need to just get a handle on some of that aspect. And so that's what I want to be covering here today. You're probably going to notice that your sheets of paper don't have an awful lot of scripture verses on it. Very untypical of me, right? You know, I know. So like first thing Barb said, well, it's going to be a short message. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Yeah, but I do have some information that I want to share to you about God's love, and it's scripture. And then I have a story that I want to tell you, and that's I'll take some time to tell the story. And so let's just begin with a word of prayer before we get to the message. Father, as we look at your word and to look at that attribute, that character of yours of love, as a defining feature, our world really sees love as in a perverted way. We take love and we just use that word for whatever and never see the value and the depth that's within the love who you are. So I just pray that the Holy Spirit can reveal a sample of that. I mean, we can't cover all of it here, but at least a sample of it to fill our bodies and fill our spirit with you. Because you're going to find here in Scripture that God is love. It's more than just an attribute of Him. It's everything He is. So we appreciate that, Lord, and just the knowledge of it. And as we go through Scriptures, help us to fine-tune our perception of who you are. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because that's the chapter, what we call the love chapter of Scripture. And there's a whole book, the Song of Solomon, that really talks about love and commitment. But in this case here, for now, I just want to be able to go through this chapter here. And I've got it here on the screen. But if you've got your Bibles, you know, please open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll just read it through. And again, like I said, God is love. So when we start to read Scripture, keep that in mind in the sense that it's more than just pretty words that you might use at a wedding. It's more than just a pushing of people to be friendly with other people. It's about God in everything that we do. So it begins this way here. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no wrong or no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I can't even read that. Maybe I can get rid of that. Put a screen there. So let's go over here. Hide. There we go. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Yeah. And so there's a lot in there, and I'm not really wanting to spend time, you know, breaking that down. What I want to let you know is that without love in all the things that you do, it means nothing. Right? So let me rephrase that. Without God in all the things that you do, it means nothing. Right? And if you get into John chapter 15, where it talks about the vine, you know, remaining in the vine, you know, I'm in the vine, the Father's in the vine, is like the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and we need to stay attached. We can't produce fruit without, you know, being attached to the vine. It's the same thing. And as we really start to look at our relationship with God, it's paramount that we know who God is. Because we can have this perception of who He is, and then, you know, go down this rabbit hole and go down this rabbit hole here. But until we know Scripture, until we really know His character, then it's really difficult to be able to know His will and what to do. Because a lot of times we'll do things that please us. You know, like even when it talked about in 1 Corinthians, you know, being able to give all that I have to the poor. But if I do it just for my own recognition, if I do it just to get my name on the newscast or something like that, it's for nothing. Right? And that's why God says, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, so that when you do things, God the Father knows that you're doing it, and it's there that you'll get your rewards from stuff, not from the people around you. Right? Do things the way God wants it done, in love. And it's really important to do that. Now why this love stuff? It's kind of funny for a guy to be speaking about that, you know, up here, and it's like, Hope will tell you, and I'm not really a person that shows my emotions an awful lot. I never, like when we used to watch television programs, and you know, the tear-jerking ones where the daughter dies and the father's holding it, you know, it's like, you know, you should be just bawling and you can't even stand it. It's like, I'm just looking at it and watching it, and it's like, no effect, right? It's different now. I don't know why, but maybe having the kids and stuff like that, I feel the pain now, and it's like, my eyes will water up now, but I never used to do that and stuff. But think about some of the disciples. These guys are weathered people. You know, they're fishermen. You know, they're tough. They're out there. And they've been persecuted. And you know, and some of them, you know, killed. And their brothers were killed because of their belief in God. And you know what they, you know, you would think they would say is, you need to fight hard. You need to do something else. But here's John, who's in the book of 1 John, we're going to read a little bit about love and what he has to say about love. So I'm going to click on this again. As we go to this, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, again, this is a well-weathered individual who knows God and knows God deeply. And this is his response to the people around him that will read this. And he's not afraid to say what he has to say because he's, like I said, he's really got a good connection with God. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." And we're thinking, ah, he's just a flower child, you know, of the 70s and the late 60s. And that's really what we're looking for, is just that love. It's not that. All right, just so that you know, it's not that type of love. It says, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Anybody get the theme in there, what we need to do? Yeah, we need the love. Yeah. But it's not just love the way we want to love other people. We need to love the way God loves us. All right? Now again, I can break this down for you an awful lot, but there's a couple things I just want to point out, and then I'm going to go on to my message, because I think my story might be a better way to explain what all of this is saying in a people version versus, you know, a God thing, because I think it reflects what this is saying here. But I do want to point out over here, it says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows love. So you can't love God without knowing God. Or you can't love without knowing God. Right? That's really the kind of the basis that's in there. So to show true love, you really have to know God. It says here too that God gives us an example that Jesus Christ was sent as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Right? God offered His Son to pay the penalty for our sin. And it says there too that it's not that we loved God, it's that He loved us. And that's why He did that. Right? Knowing that some of us, the people that He died for in the world, are still going to reject Him. And then there's those who have chosen to accept Him. And God is just so overjoyed by that sort of thing, because His love has gone through it and it's permeated and stuff. So we need to, as I said, we ought to love one another. So I want to show an example of that love that I think that really kind of amplifies what's being said here. So this is my story, and I'm going to start at third grade. If you look at my little report card on third grade, it says on there, I'm sure it's the teacher, I don't even know what her name was. She says, Mike had a tough year this year. And she says right away, he struggles in English and he can't make a complete sentence. Right? And then she went on and started saying other things like, you know, try to put some positive spins on there. And basically she's saying, hopefully he'll make it in life. That's basically what she said about me in third grade. And of course, I don't read that stuff. I don't even look at it. But it's like I happened to see that. And I was like, it just kind of stuck in my mind. It's like, what kind of thing is that to say to a kid, you know, at that age? And what is it? Your mom or dad reads that too and sets up. Well, I know English was a problem. So when I was like in eighth grade, there was a science teacher. His wife was getting into like remedial reading and she needed a test subject to work with. And so the science teacher, Mr. Pearl, I think it was, selected me to work with his wife because I think he knew that my English skills weren't that great. Science and math came easy to me, but it's just English was so foreign and stuff. And I could care less about that. Anyhow, she wanted to work with me and practice some of her skills and do a little study on me. And she tried to get me to read, and I'm like, I just hate reading. She said, well, just read something like comic strips and stuff. I said, I don't read comic strips. I look at the pictures and I decide what's being said. That's how much I hate reading, you know? So it's not like it's textbook reading and stuff that just turns me off. It's reading altogether. And I think she was a little put out by that, you know? She didn't know what to do because that wasn't in the textbook that she read. How do you deal with a kid that doesn't even want to read cartoons and stuff? So, you know, I kind of rejected that, and I don't even know how I got through high school because I know I always wrote poorly. And so when I got to college, I worked for 2 years after high school, and I decided to go to college for dairy. I want to be a dairy farmer. And so I went to Delhi for 2 years, SUNY Delhi. There was an exam that you had to take before you went to college, and it was on math and it was on English. Because if you didn't do well in the English, you had to take extra English classes before you could take the regular English, you know, freshman English and stuff. So when I get to the English part, I'm sitting there, I'm writing very clearly, making sure my I's are dotted, T's are crossed and stuff. And we had to just write some, I forgot what it was about our summer experience or something. So I'm thinking, got that out of the way, I'm really good. Well, it came back, I had to take a pre-freshman English class. I think I got a C in that class. And then I took the freshman class, and I might have got a C minus on that. And then it's this, of course, that's 2 semesters of my 2 years there. So the next semester, which was the next year, I didn't take any classes in English, but then I still had to have one more English class. And so I signed up for an English class, and there was 2 options. One was poetry, and the other one was advanced comp. Now, again, here's a guy that doesn't really show his emotion. You know, he just wants to work. What would you choose? Really? I wasn't doing poetry, I'll tell you that. So I decided to take the advanced comp class. And I'll just wing it. I can do it, you know, because I got my C minus in freshman English. I can make it work. So what does this guy, this professor does? But, you know, I can still visualize the class. I mean, this was a big moment for me, right? And I'm in this class. I'm sitting right in the smack middle, about right where Pat is sitting. And, you know, the professor's up here, and he says, so this is a hard class. He says, some of you will not pass. And I'm like, this is going to be bad. So I'm like, I'll do what I can do. I'll get some friends that'll help me and not write my papers, but it wasn't that way. But I need help. I know that stuff. So what's he do? He gives a 25-question quiz before he teaches anything. Passes it all out. And it was like this. Define a noun. Define a verb. Define an adjective. Define an indirect object. Define a passive sentence. So I'm in the center, right? He's walking around with his hands behind his back, looking at all the stuff over there, and he happens to come over to me. I'm going to come over like where Pat is. Like that, and Pat's right there, and Pat's me, right? So what do? I put my arm over the paper so he can't see it. And then he takes his hand, moves my arm out. Now, this is no joke. I'm not lying or anything. And I said to him, I don't know all the answers. I had 4 of them answered, right? This one's wrong. This one's wrong. They're all wrong. What are you doing here? You're going to fail this class. I'm not kidding. It was that loud. And I said, well, maybe I can get a little extra help. He went on and we finished the whole thing and stuff like that. Then he gets up here and he starts talking. He says, if you haven't passed this test, there's no way you're going to be able to pass this class. And he did say, if you do need some extra help, he says, my semester, this semester is light. He was retiring, I think, at the end of that semester. And he said, if you need some extra help, come over to me. So everybody leaves. I'm not going out in the hallway to see anybody, right? So I stay there. And so we get to the room, goes out this way. I came over and I said, I'm going to need some extra help to get through the class. And he says, I don't want you in class. No, yeah, you said that. He said, I don't want you in class. And I said, no, you don't understand. I have to have this English class to graduate. This is my last semester here. I have to have it. And he says, no, you don't understand. I don't want you here. Yeah. Yeah. So again, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Then he says, I want you in my office instead. You know? So instead of meeting there like Monday, Wednesday, Friday at class with all of his whole class, I went to his office Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He taught me one-on-one. Yeah. So it was kind of a neat thing because I never had anybody, you know, sit down with me in English and actually teach me English, as you probably figured out, because I always wrote in sentence fragments and stuff, and it was really bad. So he worked with me. I don't know if the book that he gave me was the same book what everybody else was doing, but I made it a point in my life when I was at college there. I said, whatever this guy gives me, because I know he's taken some time out of his schedule, whatever he gives me to do, I am going to do. I'm not going to be a person that's going to come into his office without my work done, without the workbook that he gave me to fill out and stuff and answer all these little questions, without all the writings that I was supposed to do, short writings and stuff like that, you know, descriptive writing and some other types of writings and stuff that he ran me through. We actually developed quite a relationship, you know, he and I did. And I wrote some stuff in the paper. I remember doing this one descriptive thing, and I did it of a calf pen, because that was my major was dairy, right? So I'm not going to try to pretend to do anything. So I decided to write about a calf pen, and it had all this stuff splattered on the wall from the calf, you know. And I used a descriptive word for that sort of thing. Not that I would swear or anything, but it's like, you know, I put that in the paper. And every time I wrote something, he would read it out loud with the door open and stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to get him, you know. So he read the whole thing. And then he looks at me and he says, you didn't think I was going to read that, did you? And I'm like, no, I didn't. That was kind of amazing. But there's something about him, you know, that was really neat. I ended up getting an A in advanced comp, by the way. He was an individual that taught me English, you know? And I'm telling you this story because it really relates to what John is saying in 1 John. Let me break this down to you. When I entered that room, right, my whole hope was just to get through the class. That was it. That was my goal. Just to get through. I don't care if I get a C minus, D plus, whatever. Just didn't need an F in that class. He pointed out immediately that I was failing in a lot of aspects of being able to write. Right? But you know, that's exactly what God does to us. He points to us and says, you know what? You are seeped in sin. And you can't prove to me by filling out all these definitions of English stuff in here, you can't prove to me that you're sinless, that you know all the answers, you know how to do everything. In fact, this professor just showed me how much I was lacking in the field of English. Just as Jesus shows us how much we are lacking in ourselves, in terms of being holy, being right with God. That's a hard moment to experience. Because God will say, there's no way you're getting into heaven like this. There's no reason why you should be here. Because you don't qualify for this setting. And then I say to Jesus, but I want to get to heaven. God says, I don't want you because of the way you are.
Because you lack love, my kind of love.
Yeah, I lacked everything. Yeah. But you see, the thing is, what's kind of interesting is that had I not taken this particular class, I would still be able to function. I would probably still be doing some of the stuff that I would be doing. But I'd be struggling a lot more because I wouldn't be able to communicate, especially as a teacher, you know, the writing of, you know, your homework assignments and some of the worksheets and stuff like that. Can you imagine writing in sentence fragments and wrong all the time with your students? What kind of, character would I show of myself, that if I can't even write complete sentences, how would I expect my students to be able to write complete sentences? They go in that. And the same thing with God. It's like, if I can't love the way He wants me to, how can I then be an effective Christian witnessing if I don't know how to do those simple things? I still struggle with it. I have to.
It was kind of like a miracle. I mean, God bringing that professor.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you have no idea how appreciative I am in that,
yeah.
In that aspect in there. So, he really taught me English. I can write a complete sentence now. I can. I know it sounds silly. But it made a big difference in my life. So it's the same thing with God. God will come in. He'll let you know your faults, right? The Holy Spirit comes in and convicts. He doesn't condemn. He convicts. And He says, you can't be here because of that, but if you come to Me, I'll work with you one-on-one. I'll teach you. I'll train you. So that you know what I want. And you'll be able to do what it is that you need to be able to do. I think of this professor too. I don't know. I can't even remember his name. I actually went through the Delhi, and alumni stuff to see if they had some of the past teachers that were there. I couldn't find him. I don't know what his name is or anything. I remember what he looks like. And then I think to myself, why would he even do that sort of thing? Yeah, he has got some time, and I understand that. But it's more than just about English, because anybody, that loves English, can teach English. Say, well, not always just, they can always teach, but they just love English, and they like that aspect of it, right? But this guy here, it was more than that. He knew that I needed my English skills to be successful in life. And he may have seen something, I don't know, maybe he's been teaching probably for a long time and stuff, and he sees this stupid looking kid in the center of the building there, in the classroom, and it really embarrassed and all that sort of thing there. And but he expected me to come to him. And I know that. I knew he wanted me to come and ask him for help. Because he mentioned that a couple times in the class. If you need help, come see me. But he wasn't going to go and say, Mike, you're going to be in my room. I had to come to him. And he then said, come in. God does the same thing. You see those pictures sometimes, I don't think we have a picture here, where Jesus is knocking on the door and there's no handle on the outside of the door. Jesus can't open the door. You have to open the door to allow Him in. Right? Because when you volunteer Him to come in, that means that you're choosing Him and accepting what He has. And like, for me, at that moment, I was going to learn every bit of English that I could from this individual because I just knew without a doubt, this was my only chance in which to learn. And I've got this one individual, for some reason, is willing to do that because he sees the value of English in me. Is that any different than God seeing the value of His love in me? I really don't know if this guy was a Christian or not. But I tell you, he showed Christian attributes. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same type of attribute that you can share with those around you. You can bring people in. You can show the love that God has shown you with the talents and the gifts that God has given you. Whatever that is. But if you hold back and you don't share, That's like this professor just saying, you're going to fail, and by golly, I would have failed. Because I would have known what to do. I would have gotten no help at all. It could be Jesus saying, well, you're steeped in sin, so you're no entrance to heaven for you. End of story. Can you imagine that? Showing God's love with the talents that you have is what John is talking about. It doesn't always come easy. It comes with struggles sometimes. This guy had to deal with me, you know. But I was obedient to do everything that he told me to do without question. I put my English future in his hands. If he taught me wrong, I was going to be doomed for the rest of my life. But I trusted him. And he was good to me. And it's the same thing we need to do with God, that we need to put our trust into him, to know that he is a God of love, that he will do nothing to me that will harm me, but to only better me into the individual that he wants me to be, so that I then can show that love to others. That's what John is talking about right here. Without Jesus coming and showing the love that he has, going to the cross for us, to die for those sins, to die for all those people that can't spell and can't write complete sentences. You know, it's just silly, but it's like it's true. And I hope you can get the connection in the sense that this is what John is pleading with the individuals. You need to love one another as God has loved you. But if you don't know what that love is, then you don't know God. Pat?
You needed to put down your pride in your abilities and humble yourself to go to that professor. Some people would just say, that's it, I'm done, I'm walking out of here.
Yeah.
But because you were willing to humble yourself in the sight of the professor or the Lord, then that opened the door for him to be able to speak into your life.
Yeah, 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 very much so, yeah.
Some of our professors in college, and one of them couldn't pronounce words good, they'd ask us, and I couldn't pronounce some of them myself. My husband pronounces everything really good, but every once in a while he has something I can't. I heard it's readers in college.
Yeah. No, it's true. So, you know, with that deficiency or whatever, I think God placed that in there because God wanted me to be able to do something, you know. And I know I would... What's that?
He had a future and a hope for you.
Yes, yeah.
And he knew what you needed to do what you're doing.
Right, and I needed to be obedient, you know, to God and to be able to carry with that. Loretta?
About the love, sometimes we struggle with love for certain people at times, okay? And years ago I heard a sermon, God is love. And if you can't love them, ask God to love them. You. And I did that often years ago. I'm going to share it with my husband. I married him. And soon after, and oh my God, I vowed before God to love this man till death was apart. I don't think I do. And I heard a sermon, you know, if you don't love your spouse, you don't love your, whatever, it could be a brother or a mother. God loves them. Ask him to love through you. Ask him. And so I did that. I don't know when it changed, but it changed from just God using me as a vessel, loving them, to I loved my husband. I loved him till death. And I loved him through many difficulties and things that you wouldn't think you would love him anymore. But anyway, so, you know, it's a struggle. And I do still at times with certain people ask God to help him through you. Use you as the vessel.
Yeah, thank you. That's really good.
That's what that dream I had. And I think now that I'm thinking about it,
when the crosses were coming for me, when I, now that I think about it, it's Jesus telling me that he was with me that night.
Amen.
Yeah. That I didn't know that night but what it meant, but now I know that Jesus was with me, the crosses were there.
Yeah, amen, Beth. Yeah. And that when we love one another, then that just really shows that God is in us. Because we can't love the way God loves without knowing God and without God in us. One last verse I want to share in Romans 5:8, he says, "But God has demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's like that English teacher, you know. He wanted to teach English. I'm sure that's what his passion was. But I think greater than that was that he wanted to make an impact on the people, the students that were coming through. He made an impact on me. Maybe he didn't do that for everybody else because maybe they didn't feel that they really needed him because they were good in English, you know, and stuff like that. But there's some short that you have that you're going to need a professor, that you're going to need God in your life. And he's the only one that can teach you what you need. If you do, like Pat said, just surrender yourself to God to know that if God is love and you want love and you need love, surrender yourself to God. Get to know him. Allow him to work in your life and to lead you where you need to go. That's God's character. It's who he is. God is love. It is.
Our love is imperfect, and he knows that because we're sinners. But he has given us a way through his Son and his Word to strive to perfect that love by loving others. In his example, to love others
right.
As he loved us.
Yeah. Let's close there. Father, I do thank you for your word here today, and I thank you for the message that you have for us. You are special, Lord. We recognize that we fall short all the time. The one individual we need to go to, ask for extra help, is God. And he'll say, "You're unworthy to come to me, but come anyhow. Because my love covers it all." We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.